Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Yesterday evening, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago announced four people were being charged in a sprawling investigation involving Electric Utility ComEd and the highest levels of Illinois government. The list of people were allegedly working to butter up House Speaker Michael Madigan, who, it should be noted, has not himself been charged with a crime. We'll have an update on the case later this hour. And author Henry James Garrett became famous for his Instagram account, Drawings of Dogs. Now he's out with a book aimed at improving our capacity for empathy. It's called This Book Will Make You Kinder. We'll talk with him later this hour as well. But first, the pandemic has upended many people's lives. Even if you've been lucky enough to avoid having the disease in your family, many people lost their jobs or at least saw their work hours cut. This led to a crushing demand on government unemployment agencies and revealed that many of them were not up to the task, including the agency here in Illinois. This summer, after months of problems, Governor J.B. Pritzker appointed Kristen Richards to be the new director of the Illinois Department of Unemployment Security. Before that, she was chief of staff to Illinois Senate President Don Harmon. Director Richards, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for the opportunity to join you today.
And listeners, we pre-taped this conversation, so you cannot call in now. It's pre-recorded. But if you have any outstanding unemployment questions, we invite you to send an email to talk@21stshow.org or leave us a voicemail at 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. So, Director Richards, as I mentioned, you were appointed to this job in the summer when the system had been struggling for months during the pandemic. Why did the agency struggle so much during those early months?
Well, Brian, virtually every other state is dealing with and experiencing the same issues, learning how to navigate, solve, and continue to really help claimants while dealing with the pandemic. We're working collaboratively with other states, bouncing ideas off of our partners, looking for best practice solutions to meet the need that's been presented to us this year. Just to give you a sense of the magnitude, we've paid out over $16.5 billion in benefits in 2020. That's, you know, just under 3 million in initial claims filed with the agency. Relative to last year at this time, that's about 16 times the workload. So we have a lot coming in our direction. We are trying to build the plane as we're flying it, as the governor has mentioned, and at the same time, really try and improve our agency's operations and make up for some losses over the course of the last decade.
What were the specific problems? Was it not enough people to process it? Was it outdated computer systems, some combination of the above, something else?
So over the course of the last decade, Brian, the Department of Employment Security has lost roughly half of its headcount. We have the opportunity this year, thanks to the governor and Illinois General Assembly's support, to onboard roughly 226 new hires. And that combined with bringing some additional contractual assistance to the agency, it's helping us really work through the claimant issues that are coming our way. At the same time, we're repairing the tech deficit. The Department of Employment Security is not alone. We're among state agencies that are really trying to rebuild and repair for tech losses that go back decades. Our main unemployment application is over a decade old, and you really begin to realize the age of a system when you're confronted with the number of claims that we've received since the beginning of the pandemic in March. So a little bit of all of the above, but we're throwing everything we can at it from a solution standpoint.
There are two federal unemployment programs. A lot of attention has been focused on this that are set to expire at the end of the year if Congress does not extend them. Do you have a sense of what effect that would have on Illinoisans?
Brian, I'm glad you mentioned this, and I do want to take the opportunity to really highlight this for listeners. The Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, PUA, which is assistance to those individuals that are self-employed, along with the Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program, the extra 13 weeks of emergency regular unemployment assistance, both end December 26, 2020. For the unemployed here in Illinois, this is scary. This is scary. And quite frankly, the agency is finding ways to communicate around this so people know what is coming. What we see with the claimants we interact with is that more so than anything, they need stability, right? Going to work, it provides you with stability. Losing a job, being unemployed at no fault of your own is one of the most disruptive, stressful things that someone can encounter. And when you couple that with navigating new programs, some of the people that we've met this year are coming to the Department of Employment Security for the very first time for assistance. So when you couple that with new programs that are set to expire, we're looking at a really difficult 6-week period for folks that may stretch into the new year.
Director Richards, we've gotten a number of questions from our listeners through voicemail and our Text the 21st group that I want to get to. The first one is a call from Jennifer in Springfield. Let's take a listen.
Hello, my name is Jennifer, calling from Springfield, Illinois. My question is whether an employee, if they leave a job because of stress, anxiety, and what I would call irreconcilable differences, would it still be possible to be successful at an unemployment hearing? And this is after a very, very long employment to the point of almost retirement. Thank you.
Can you respond to that, Director Richards?
Yeah, Brian, I'm glad that Jennifer contacted you. What I would say is, and people who have been coming to us from help are learning this firsthand, each unemployment insurance matter is handled on an individual basis. When a claim is filed, folks at the agency evaluate the circumstances around that claim. We encourage anyone that is questioning whether or not they may be eligible to receive assistance to take a look at the agency's website, some of the information that's located there, and then first file for regular unemployment benefits. If they are found ineligible for regular unemployment insurance benefits, they can then apply for the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, PUA. So again, explore the avenue, see if it's available. The agency is unable to comment on individual cases. We are prohibited under a section of the State Unemployment Insurance Act surrounding privacy, confidentiality, but do check out the information on the agency's website, see if it would apply to your circumstance.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking with the director of the Illinois Department of Employment Security, Kristen Richards. This is pre-recorded, but if you have any outstanding unemployment questions, we invite you to send us an email to talk@21stshow.org or leave us a voicemail at 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. I do want to ask another listener question that it gets at a broader issue. I know you said you don't obviously want to or cannot comment on specific cases, but let's take a listen to this voicemail we got from Jim in Bloomington.
Hello, this is Jim from Bloomington, Illinois. Several people in Central Illinois have gotten fake letters from the Illinois Department of Employment Security and from Key Bank that says that they have filed for unemployment. The fact is they have not filed for unemployment. It seems that people, when they try to call and leave a message and wait 2 or 3 weeks, they do not get a response. We've used the form online and don't get a response from that either. I just want to be sure that the Department of Employment Security is aware of this fraudulent activity and is somehow dealing with it. Thank you.
So I want to put a pin in the idea of people asking questions and not hearing back because we have another question about that. But let's talk about fraudulent activity. Has the department had to deal with a lot of fraudulent activity related to this unprecedented year and unemployment?
At an order of magnitude, Brian, that we have never, ever experienced before. And again, this is not unlike other states. I participate in a weekly call with my peers nationwide. And, there's a general consensus that agencies are confronting levels of fraud that not only have we've never seen before, but we lack the real resources internally to deal with it as quickly as we want to be dealing with it. And by that, I mean, just getting back to people that are flagging these issues for us. You know, we investigate things that come our way and we stop claims. We work very closely with state, local, and federal law enforcement to make sure that every fraudulent claim is investigated. But, you know, as you could sense Jim's exasperation there on the phone, I hear him. We are trying to get back to people in a much quicker clip that are flagging these issues for us. I'd like to, though, spend some time, Brian, if it's okay, just talking about what it is that we're seeing with regard to fraudulent claims.
Please do.
You know, we're generally informed about fraud in one of two ways. You know, either a victim of identity theft receives a UI finding or a KeyBank debit card in the mail, and the victim contacts the agency to shut down the fraudulent claim. They're either giving us a call or they're submitting information through an online form located on the agency's website. The other way we find out about this is that an employer will receive a fraudulent notice of claim for a current or former employee. And so they will protest that claim by contacting the agency. You know, what we're seeing is bad actors, fraudsters, they're filing new claims in the names of Illinoisans who have had their identity stolen in separate security breaches. So the agency is not aware that these are fraudulent claims when they are first filed. The agency's practice and agencies like our agency nationwide, their practice is that when a claim is filed, the system generates a notice of finding and we automatically send a debit card to someone. That debit card is blank, but we send it to them in anticipation of starting this process of certifying for benefits and in trying to access any benefits that they might be monetarily eligible to receive. What is happening is that victims who have been victims of identity theft are receiving these UI finding letters and KeyBank debit cards in the mail after never having filed a claim for benefits with the agency. What we do want to encourage people to do is please contact the agency if something like this has entered your mailbox. If you've received something in the mail from us that you did not expect to receive, give us a call. We are making process improvements around this in real time as we are all encountering it together. And so you're going to receive either a phone call from us or a letter in the mail indicating that the claim that was filed in your name was in fact fraudulent and it has been shut down. We're also going to encourage you to ignore any future correspondence you receive from us. Again, these are system issues that we're working really hard to repair, but the order of magnitude is making it really clear to us that we have to evaluate our process around all of this at the same time. If you've been victimized, if you have been a victim of identity theft, you know, please take steps to visit the FTC's website, take a look at further protections you can put in place to make sure that your identity is protected. Again, a fraudster has used your personal identifying information to file a claim in your name. They access that information through some data breach or cybersecurity hack. And I just want to apologize that folks are going through this. We really are working hard to try and reach people who have been victimized.
It relates, you mentioned people should get in touch, and we heard that Jim expressing his getting in touch and not hearing back. And this relates to a question sent to our partner site, Illinois Newsroom's Ask the Newsroom feature. This was more than a month ago, but Stephen wrote in to say, now that IDES is in callback only mode, I have yet to be able to talk to anyone about not receiving my unemployment. It's been a month since I left my number. Why is it still taking so long to be contacted back by IDES? Unquote. And I know, again, you cannot comment on specific cases, but how long should people expect to wait for a callback? And is that number improving over time?
Sure. It might be helpful, Brian, to even just provide some context for listeners on this new callback feature. Prior to July 9, folks were contacting the agency, sometimes upwards of, we were receiving 1.8 million calls a week for a call center that had roughly 100 people in place to answer those calls. So over the course of the spring and summertime, we started adding headcount to our call center. And on July 9th, moved to a callback feature. And we were hearing stories before I joined the agency. I talked to people who were setting alarms with the hope that they would win the lottery and have the opportunity to speak with someone who works for the agency. So we wanted to try and eliminate some of that frustration by putting a callback system in place. That's also given the agency the opportunity to put some real analytics around the type of calls we're receiving, why people are contacting us, and also attempt to just move the resources, move the productivity towards the areas that need the most help. In the lion's share of the calls that we receive, we're able to return within a week to 2 weeks. Some of the more complicated calls that are coming to the agency, issues surrounding pending adjudications or appeals, or we have an ALJ, for example, involved in working through some issues surrounding a claimant's matter. Those might take a few weeks for us to give you a call back, but if you have entered the system, we have a record of you contacting us, and we are able to then pull up your file and see what's happening and ensure that someone is going to give you a call back.
Okay, we're going to take a short break here. Listeners, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Kristen Richards, Director of the Illinois Department of Employment Security. We pre-recorded this interview, so we're not giving our normal 800 number out, but if you have any outstanding unemployment questions, we want to invite you to get in touch with us at talk@21stshow.org. More to come after a short break. This is The 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're continuing our conversation with Director Kristen Richards of the Illinois Department of Employment Security. We pre-recorded this conversation, so we're not giving our number out, but if you have any further unemployment questions that we didn't get to today, you can always send an email to us at talk@21stshow.org or leave us a voice memo at 217-300-2121. The number again is 217-300-2121. We got a text from Randy in Peoria County who really was frustrated, and he said, quote, "It is so unfair. I ordered a baler to do custom round baling back in January. It was scheduled for delivery in March. It came in October. Due to COVID, I lost all my customers, likely will not get them back, a total loss. It is my main farm income. I have not received any unemployment or assistance. Every program missed me." Unquote. Now, again, I know you cannot comment on specific cases, but what would you say to people like Randy who are hurting, who have still not been able to access unemployment assistance?
Yeah, you know, honestly, this upsets me. I think what's been tough in this crisis is that nationwide, you know, absent a larger federal solution, folks have been driven to unemployment agencies as really the last resort. And unemployment agencies, you know, unemployment insurance, it's in effect an insurance program. The pandemic unemployment assistance program obviously introduced new elements, a brand new program for those that are self-employed here in the state. And you know, I think that what I would say is that it's not everyone is eligible to receive assistance through unemployment agencies. You know, I would advocate for, and as we're talking to, you know, our partners in DC, we're really advocating for a broader solution to assist some of those that feel like they have been left behind and are unable to access any form of benefit. You know, what I would also say is that as we're having those conversations with folks in DC, we are really stressing the need for stability. You know, as I mentioned earlier, claimants are really needing some true stability in the forms of programs that are providing them with assistance. As we are trying to repair and rebuild here in this agency, claimants are counting on access to benefits that, you know, we're all very, very worried about. The extent to which they will no longer be available after the start of the calendar year.
And that relates to the federal program running out that we were talking about earlier.
Yep, you got it. You got it. And so what materializes in DC, not only for the programs that we are continuing to administer here in the state, but also with regard to any broader stimulus that may help folks like Randy, is something that we're all really keeping a close watch on.
You know, we did get another question from Stephen in Urbana who asked about people who have lost their health insurance because of unemployment. How can they receive the help they need? I don't know if that's outside your bailiwick, if you have any advice for Stephen?
You know, I would encourage them, I would encourage Stephen to work with some of our social service agency partners here in the state. You know, perhaps healthcare and family services may be an option for him to pursue. You know, it is outside of our bailiwick. We are, of course, are under, you know, USDOL requirements, really focused on the universe of unemployment insurance compensation. But, you know, Stephen's question is not the first time something like that has come to the agency during this crisis. We are finding people that are coming to us and asking what other directions you can provide if we need other forms of help. And so please check out some of our state agency partners. They might have some avenues that you can explore to provide you with other types of assistance.
Kristen Richards is Director of the Illinois Department of Employment Security. Thank you for being with us today on the 21st.
You're welcome, Brian. Take care.